Welcome back to All My Darlings, take two. For some reason, I lost my recording when I started. I've taken a longer break than I intended to, but back today with Marguerite Young, The Collected Poems, edited by Phil Bevis, Joshua Roths, and Jacob Seifring. We are covering the middle years, 1938 to 1943. I think we might get done with these today, because there's not that many of them. Snow in the Mountains. This snow is now so illusory it seems Plato's snow more real than the shadow of snow, and the luminous mountains expanding with the theme of absolute, this beautiful. For here we are, and that unearthly earth which errs not and fails not, where the steel-bladed sleigh now climbs, and horses breathe and we breathe not. Their breaths are plumes on frost-lit air. But our sleigh bells are burdening with no farewell the mountains of the shimmering start-top towers, and this is our whole adventure, being twin souls of real and unreal, both real and our shadow face. Snow-lighted under the soft ledge of the snow, with real and unreal both, the ineffable rose stiffening as our tears are frozen. Oh, but between two wintry planets of hope. Oh, could one voice speak out from the luminous mountains, whose shadow is that unreal and that stopped heart. Guide to New Harmony, Indiana. This, I'm assuming, has something to do with Angels in the Forest, which is the history she wrote about New Harmony, Indiana. It started out as a prose poem, and then she had to change it because she felt she couldn't quite get everything in there, the history and stuff about what she was trying to cover. So this poem might be a little hint as to what was going on at that time. Guide to New Harmony, Indiana. You come to this old village by a ferry, which wheezes and trembles in a spasm, but the iron clapper by the river clearly has called the fishermen across the chasm. There will be two blind horses dragging fallen ash trunks from the wooded side, and all the way the journey will be lagging. You will chink the Wabash as coo wide. There will be a sailor cursing and telling loudly of better rivers crossed, how for an acre of Indiana land the Ganges and the Amazon were lost. These, and new lions and crocodiles, innocent as babies, all be bought for circuses 1,000 miles lost forever behind a rapite door. Then you will walk alone into the sleeping village where one house is like the ochre. There will be beer parlors under weeping rain trees planted by the elder brother. In the everlasting shade also will be Gabriel's footprint in blue chalk outlined on granite rock, the strange symmetry, the unknowable with five toes defined. An archangel crossed these fields, chat father rap, saw sudden, terrible and bright, to be ring the many sheaves of gold together and colonize the darkness with this light. Bloodless veins will shape in air, they will blossom hard and round, they will shadow everywhere, they will rise from narrow ground. The Duke of Sawinmar, Italian music, the learned lady, the Owenite, the living men were not intrinsic to walk upon the wind this night. For though guarded behind the gray of rapite shutters, there are spinners gilded. None return to play, not in the owls' nests or linnets, only the dearly dead remain to populace a little town, whose grass turns to green in rain, and in no rain turns brown. Sorry, I forgot to mention Snow in the Mountains. She's talking about the real and unreal and Plato. So we're getting a little hint about what's to come in Miss McIntosh, My Darling, when she starts, for the next 18 years, when she starts it in 1945. Phoenix. He who seemed fitted only for balmy airs, Phoenix, whose wings were dusted with the roses, vermilion-breasted bird of many wars, who on his forehead wore such lucent snows. Where is bewafted, as subject not to us, be rightfully independent of our aid, as sparks of the true meteor's tail, the bird imperial in sun or shade? And him has no sailor remembered his bird, that phoenix crying like the lost sheep's crying in sea-washed sky, and has he not heard the dulled bleating of the ashen bird? Or can tell in what bare cove sleep wide-eyed the phoenix breast to breast, more sinister than the death of love? Birds in their snowy or sable crowns, and their wings folded in monstrous quiet, outside the soul, a quiet dawn. Love mourned. Tower of mourning, my lost bloom looks to your lips while another's caress brings the fifth tear down. Swells singing love, for the blue ball is rolling, counting the disappointments. Triumph beyond. Place the earring over the glass curtain. Don't talk. Its crystal mist understands the vows mentioned only briefly. Past, future. Hear her in the room and then notice how we breathe in other ways. Together in the angel. As if light's mirror reflected our name as we kiss souls. The effulgent dragon turns to look away. How can the shadowed man still be here when my hand covers my blushing ecstasy? Hold her birds gently together, for time comes calling. Only the blue ball angles, smiling down the slanting roof floor. O naked flower, kind with sorrow, like peach roses engraved upon a silver mind, turned twin touches your eyes. The building is so high-sided with blackness, brick walls seem almost to reach your breasts, breathing. Move, placing a hand upon your love brow, compassion's bell ringing today. Perhaps it's the fifth hand's hold, pain, cutting, that causes the thinly clouded azure sky to mostly melt the gray and the icebergged lagoon, soon real, wet with vision's veil, lips touching. We must finally feel it together, for the toothed goon is laughing, love mourned with her distant motion of clay on empty court. Breathing breathlessly, love's release. Stream forth past the clouded clowns, dreaming over the window. So the poems here seem different. They're more, I don't know, maybe experimental. Especially that one is very different, like in style and organization, than the earlier ones. But where come the innuendos? But where come the innuendos without reason as the causeless winds? The illogical tear is a question to disturb sleeping gods with. Why should be the causeless returning here? For even as the bird buried by sexton beetles is from the mating of two stars, a strange result, or as the spider underwater weaving his shrouds, the effect of a cold star, an afterthought, there is for us the same inexorable logic happening so. Because it has happened so. That the wayfaring loon should sleep on the wave and the hummingbirds be driven in the snow. For there is a pattern in the anomaly, as birds who fly not, and as winter and spring, fly-eater flowers with power of memory and the dead sea nettle's delicate sting. And that birds burrow is no more curious than for what reason a single leaf should fall. And this is our logic, because it has happened to us. Plants are rare and rare. The wintry skull. So once the probables were set in a cruel motion, there was no evasion for the brigand of grass, but to follow devotedly as the least effect of the least cause, as the wayfaring face. And why I should be seeking remoter reason on other planets, a fugitive cause, that the heart should beat and the hand lift as the result always of a series of flaws. Is a problem for a mild god to deal with. Still, conundrums illuminate the empty lot. The irresponsible stars meet evolving afar, some interior lilies without air or weight. And evanescent accidents outside this precinct cause this causeless, as the mind suddenly shaking itself must realize how dark, dark is its responsibility. Well, that's an interesting one. Who is limited? Who is limited? This night of fickle starlight, there is none between us and the most hypothetical stars. Not clouds, not leaves, not any obstacle, and not one man obtrudes on this high level. Nor colt in a meadow chases a colt's green shadow. At this high altitude, no orchard now decoys us like Absalom, whose silver hair was caught among the branches of despair. Oh, no fact obtrudes between us and Venus. Our wedding ring is mirrored entire on space, like that white wind which circles white earth. And though we die an experimental but wholly successful death, and though like green hummingbirds among green leaves, we are absorbed by leaves, only our own contiguity with earth or universe our hearts denied, having defined limitations, and having seen like the flight of birds, constellations outside the wind of the mind. And even the wild goat of Ephesus. Oh, Plato and now Ephesus, and these guys show up in the Spakatosh, my darling. And even the wild goat of Ephesus, which sheds its horns and trails thereafter loops of green vines from its head, and even the peacock is mixed with our mental nature, like roses wherein time and space must wed. All cohere in us. We are both subject thinking and object thought of. And nothing certain but glitter of our eyes, that bright glitter of the dumb and blind. For Christ, the meditation process, moves between us and the thing in itself. The leopard's bane is tentative as angel, or honey gathered from the atmosphere. For we cannot know how much of us is involved in the act of knowledge. Christ is a veil of illusion on our eyes, or shall we rather say, all things are process, and no locus ever for the transparent bird. And no color of the invisible we hear, no sound of the inaudible, no analogy for God, and our experience, which is ourselves, unheard. So you can definitely see a little echo of the themes that she's thinking about and that she's working on before she starts. Ms. McIntosh, my darling, very interesting. I'm wondering, since Moderate Fable was published in 1944, I'm wondering... Huh, what that's going to be like. Interesting. Okay, a couple more. Flea Circus. This one's prose poem, I guess. It's in paragraphs, like a letter. Flea Circus on Times Square. Dear blank. There is a very large city by the sea. Its name is New York. It is filled with skyscrapers which scrape the sky. Have you ever seen a row of beehives? And the skyscrapers are like great beehives full of lights instead of honey. Aunt Margie wants you to close your eyes just for one moment. Think hard. Think New York. Think of the skyscrapers which scrape the sky. They are taller than the tallest trees. Think of how small the people are, just like dolls or spiders, or just like frogs weighed down at the bottom of a well. To themselves, they do not seem small as dolls or spiders. Oh no, people are people. They ride in buses on Fifth Avenue. But if you were a seagull looking down, what would you see? Just dolls or spiders. If you were an airman looking down, what would you see? Just dolls or spiders. To themselves, they seem like people. But what are people? Can you answer this question truly? Nobody knows. People are people, Aunt Margie says. They are not monkeys. They are not ostriches. They are not storks or seagulls. People are people. They walk upright on two legs. Sometimes they fly, but they are not angels because angels have wings like a butterfly's. People fly in airplanes or fly on trapezes. People are people. But of course, there are all kinds of people. But if you were a seagull looking down, how would you know one person from another? It would be hard to tell whose nose was whose and whose eyes were whose. Now, Aunt Margie wants you to listen close. Times Square is just the busiest place in the world. People walk back and forth all day, every day in the year. They are going on mysterious errands. Nobody knows where they are going or where they came from. On Times Square, though, you and I are going to a flea circus all by ourselves. Look close, because we are going to see the very smallest people in the world. Just fleas, like those who live in the hairs of an old dog that scratches, because he doesn't want to carry a world of fleas on his back. But those are naughty fleas in the old dog's hairs. There are fleas that went to school and learned how to earn their own living, dancing. There's a man who runs the flea circus. He sits in a glass room in front of a table spread with a clean white cloth. That is where the fleas do all their best tricks. This man has a face just as round as the moon's. He hasn't a single hair on his head. He has traveled all over the world collecting fleas, and this is what he says. Fleas are just like people. In fact, maybe they are people in a world all their own. For they are walking back and forth, as if they had very important business to do. Maybe they look alike to you, because you are so tall. But to themselves, each is very different from the other. Really. And the man who runs the flea circus knows that this is true. Oh, no. He would never mistake one flea for another. Not in a million. Then it has brackets. Years. interesting, because it sounds like there's two typos, but I don't know if that's intended or not. So we're are, she probably says we are. Maybe it would, like we're would be the contraction. And then on this one, what's there is this one? He would never mistake, it says on flee, but it should be one flee for another. But I don't know. I don't know if it, she typed it out that way or what. When you look at the hard copies of this, it's the old typewriters that I barely remember. All right. Sorry, we've got about one. I'm going to do the rest of these. One, two, three more. Deathbed of a beauty. This was the early death of beauty unwedded, but wooed by a brave lover who planned serenely Earth's curve. Earth's flight through space with one loved face. This was her early going. Beauty's hearse tinkled with snow bells on the long, sleek climb. The insolent horses breathed, though she breathed not in that cold time. His sterile sorrow found a brief surcease in a bed of darkness, safe from the outer storm. For the mazed lover has taken her sister to sleep, dreaming one form. Dreaming that beauty's tomorrow, which will not awaken, but in tomorrow, a progeny of the withered thighs, the children of that old sister are beauties, her children, her unburied eyes. Sorry, I think I skipped over the flea circus. Like, that was, I really like it. I really like this. I kind of skipped over, when I got caught up in the typos on the last page, but I love this. People are people, and seeing them, you know, how... Looking at things from different perspectives changes how they're seen. I thought that was very well done. The priesthood of motion. Oh, what seagull is blown over cotton fields, wheels out of nothingness but cloud ceiling. Like a cherub, that old negro looks up and leans with salt tears upon his cheek. Oh, like the mistrustful deer forever stands with his blind eye toward the sea from which no shaft of hunter comes. This quietude of pose is a deception and an exodus from cotton fields. Yea, a process wayfaring in stellar space in every motion of the elder fame. No gold of temporal isthmus but a tide, seagull, angel, sparrows twittering. And the last one, the dead moon. As calculable as the moon in its phases, the dead moon, whose moonlight does not cease, is the fraternity of sunlit faces sleeping forever in lunar peace. And I am the waves of this cold sea and reflex to a lunar memory. Should for the moon there be a second blight, yet stable ever to loving eyes? Oh, dead though is the moon, that slight full moon or crescent would beam the sky, a triumph of all the sinister faith with which dreams a permanence of golden death. And should for the moon there be a second end, and the moon dissolve to a finer dust, as film on the eyes of every lover friend, what heart would guess the moon was effaced? For still would be the baffling moon in wane, as to the audible soul, full moon again. Even as to the audible soul, these beloved shining as full moon in the cloud, oh, as if the body of the dead were not wound as moonlight and a shroud, and all my nights were a discrepancy between the event and its knowledge. In me. All right, that does it for the middle years. And let's see, we've got Moderate Fable coming up, which was published in 1944. And then we have the Late Poems in 1945. And these are going to have drafts and different, some of their copies, I guess, of what. Yeah, like this one is like a photocopy of something. So they have earlier drafts. I hope I can read it. Oh, handwritten draft of the submarine. So we get some drafts of what she did. Like draft, there's three drafts of the submarine. Nope, four, five. Five drafts of the submarine. So we get to, I think, see a little bit of her process, which will be neat. Nice, but that's going to take up a good chunk of time. Moderate Fable is long. There are a lot of poems in here. So that's going to take a little bit of time to cover, as will the Late Poems. Awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.